Today we're going to talk about inviting Christ into the garage. Here is the attic, the cellar, or maybe not a cellar, the basement, you know, the shed. I don't have a garage. We've got three sheds full of stuff. But the place that we store the things we value in life that are not people and we can't squeeze into our homes for one reason or another. That's what we're going to talk about today. So in real life, our garage holds our treasures, other than our family, our treasures such as cars. Anyone got a really nice car they store in the garage, always garaged? Yeah, it's good to see one here. That's one of the things we do. I've been looking because my car, the mechanic said, sell it before it dies. All right, so I've got to look for a new car. And I'm reading all these for sale signs. Always been garaged. Or garaged, is that how you say it? Anyway, I thought, well, it'll have a new experience if it comes to my house. It'll be living in the cold weather. So we store things we really value. Perhaps you've got a caravan or a motorhome. What about a boat? Anybody got a boat? Yeah, some people can store them in the garage. Some of them are too tall to go in the garage. But, you know, these are the things, the hobbies, the things that we keep, that we treasure, that aren't really our family and relationship. Our sheds are full of junk. Like, you know, I mean, it's stuff we pick up and stuff we buy and stuff we store and stuff we don't need right now. All three sheds are full. The tool shed, Paul told me I could get some kind of light for work sites out of. And he said, but it's a bit hard to get into. You have to step over and to reach around and to lift up. And I said, I normally take one step in, whack my knee on something and don't go any further in that shed. It's almost exploding out. We've got a whole bunch of bikes in another shed. Do we use them? No. Right? But we got them in case. We're storing them. They're treasure. We might use them one day. This is the kind of stuff we're going to talk about metaphorically, because the stuff that we store, the stuff that we keep, tells us something about what we value. We store things we value because we believe they give us value. And that's an interesting thing for us to reflect on today. And we keep things we value because they give us comfort and security. I might need it one day. And so today, as we talk a little bit about the garage, that's the treasures I want you to think about. There actually is an interplay between actual treasure and what our heart is. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let's pray. So, Lord, we have been inviting you into our lives more and more to renovate. I mean, we know as soon as we trust you that you come and you make your home in us. But we also know over time we gather clutter, thoughts, values, ideas and treasures. And sometimes we don't take the time to assess or to let you assess and to teach us your best ways. So today, as we come to the garage of our life, we invite you to speak to us. We want you to come in. We want to learn how to value things. How you value things. We want to walk in your ways. We don't want to be weighed down. So Holy Spirit, this time is your time. Your word, speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a fantastic movie called A Good Year. I really like it. I was going to show the clip. I think we might run out of time, so I won't, although maybe Ruben will put it on afterwards if you just want to see a little clip. Inspiring 2006 movie. But it talks about a man who is pursuing wealth at all costs. And then he has an incident happen where he inherits in another country, and he has to go back and sort out his inheritance. And the plan is to sell everything because wealth is his pursuit. But along the way, he begins to see more value, more treasure than the treasure of wealth. And as a result, he recognizes, although these words are never said, the words that Jesus said, what does it profit a person to gain the whole world and lose their soul? And so he makes a decision that is surprising as he is transformed throughout the movie to learn to value people and things as means to an end, not as the end itself. The truth is that Jesus, everybody wants to tell us what we should value, by the way. Everybody wants to tell us. The bank tells us what we should value, am I right? The financial, whatever, Reserve Bank guy has told us how to live and who to have in our house. Like, everybody wants to tell us what to do with our treasure. Jesus wants to go a little bit deeper. He wants to talk to us about the link between our treasure and our heart. So he says, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust can corrupt. Instead, store up for yourself treasures in heaven where nothing can corrupt it and rust it and eat it away. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And here, as we come to the things that we value, the things that we treasure, the things that we store and hoard and hold onto and put in the shed for another day, we are invited to observe what we treasure, what actually our heart values. It's an interesting thought to look inside our actual sheds, garages, attics, basements, wardrobes in my case, the places that we store things, and to ask, what does my treasure reflect of my heart? Because when we ask that question, we might be surprised that sometimes our heart is not where we think it should be, or would be, or we'd like it to be. And I think the invitation today is for us to pay attention. Now, it's easy to put stuff in the shed or the garage and never think about it again, am I right? Has anyone got stuff out in there that they'd be surprised if they pulled everything out, what they would find? And for those of us, like me, who've lived in a house more than 15 years, there's a lot of treasure hidden in there. And maybe we don't even think we are keeping, our heart is carrying and valuing these things. But by not addressing them, actually they weigh our heart down. So the invitation today, with no condemnation, is let's pay attention to the treasure and let's pay attention to what it says about our heart and let's pay attention to what Jesus is saying to us. Because he wants to come into our garage. He doesn't want to sit on the camp chairs in front of a fire pit at the front of the garage and talk about what's in there. He actually wants us to go through it, to show him, to work out whether the stuff we think we value is what we really value. And I think when it comes to treasure, Jesus might ask us two things. Are you a king? Or a pirate? Because kings and pirates have treasure, am I right? Kings have treasure, and their treasure is all the gold. And we've just saw this if you stayed up for the coronation. You will have seen all of the treasure. They got all the boxes out, didn't they? They dusted off the crown and the big golden carriage, and all the treasure was on display. Now, often when we see the king, he's not dressed in all that grandeur. But, you know, he has the treasure because it says something. It says, I'm richer than you are. I'm more powerful than you are. What I have shows that I am of greater value than you are. This is the tension with treasure and kings. Kings believe ultimately that the things that they value and treasure give them value. That things are the thing that place value on their life. Prestige, power, all of those things comes from the things they have in their garage, albeit a very nice garage if you're a king. And so they find their heart is caught up in the things that they believe give them value. Am I making sense? Just checking. Good. Pirates do not show off their treasure. Pirates often live in scrappy clothes, and maybe they've only got one eye, and they look like paupers. But pirates have treasure. Their motive with treasure is different. The kings parade their treasure around to show everybody their value. Pirates don't get their value from treasure. They bury their treasure. They booby trap their treasure. They hide it and they make a map so they don't forget where their treasure is, but they hoard it just the same. And the motive of the pirate with his treasure is this: one day I will be in need and my treasure, my security is wrapped up. I will be looked after by this treasure. Pirates believe that their superannuation fund, that their second property, pirates believe that if they hoard it and keep it safe somewhere, then for the rest of their life they will have security. You know what I'm saying? And so the invitation as we think about treasure is, well, am I a king or am I a pirate? And if I was to answer you honestly, I put a smiley face next to this, I'm a little bit of both. I find the challenge. I like treasure. I like to have it around and get it out. I'm all about teacups, gold cutlery, all the things at a Christmas dinner. I like the treasure. But do I get my value from it? Really good question to reflect on. But I also am concerned for the future. I want to make good, wise choices. And that's not a bad thing. But do I consider that's where my security, my future, my hope is? So I don't know about you, but I reckon I might be, well, a queen and a pirate, which is non-gendered, so I can be one of those. But the invitation of our passage today in John's epistle pulls us up when we think about treasure. Do not love the world or the things of it, says John as he's an older man writing to the church, watching kings and pirates evolve over time amongst the church. Don't love these things. Don't let your heart, your treasure, be on the things of the world, says John. Because if you do, you will run into a problem. You see, our hearts, unlike the three sheds on my property, which I could always add another one to, our hearts have a limited capacity. Jesus says it this way: you cannot. So maybe you could work your way around it. No, you cannot serve two masters. You have I have a limited capacity on what we can love. And so John says to the church, don't love the world, because if you're loving the world and the things of, if it is your treasure, then there's no room in your shed for the love of God. You can't fit it both into one. You cannot serve two masters, God and money, God and stuff, God and the treasures that we're talking about. We must choose what we store, what we value, and why we value it. And of course, as the people of God, we know that while kings might get their sense of value, their personal sense of meaning from treasure, we are called to be children of the King. And our value does not come from the temporal things of this world. We are valued because God himself calls us his children. Mal read to us today, she called it facts. I want to talk about truth, the written into the foundation of this very earth is that God so loved this world. You and I are of great value, not because of the things that we have and the treasures we store. They mean nothing and can pass away in the blink of an eye. We are valued because God says so. This is an unchanging truth. This remains from the time you are born to the time you die. No matter what we accomplish in life or don't, we remain of the same great value to God. In Peter's epistles, he says, we weren't purchased with things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood. That is how great your value is, that God would lay down his life for you. He gave his greatest, heaven's greatest. So there is nothing more that can be done to add this value to us. So when we look at our garages and we think about the things that maybe we feel give us prestige or power or value, we must learn to hold them with an open hand. They have no sway on our value. Already, from the beginning, we experience God's value. And not only that, but the things we have are unable to promise us the security that the pirates long for. My mum always used to say, I need to save in my super because I just don't know if anyone else will be able to look after me. And she was worried about money her whole life. She was a pirate, to be sure. And she was so worried about how her life would work out. She was a pirate from an early age because of what she'd experienced and hadn't experienced of security. These beliefs are formed not willy-nilly, but because of experiences along the way. And so she learnt to hoard and store and keep and bury her treasure. The problem is the treasure couldn't keep her and my dad from ill health. It couldn't make promises to care for her needs. It couldn't even give her a sense of peace in her older age. She's still worried about money. Even though she has a lot, her mind can no longer hold on to what she has, and therefore the security's not there. Money is a good friend if you are its master, but it is not a caring friend if it is your master. It will not and cannot take care of you, but God can. God promises he will always provide for our needs, that he knows them from the deepest core of our lives, and so he will care for us. Does that mean we don't be good stewards? No, but we are to put our trust not in the treasures in our shed or our bank vault or our buried treasure, but in the promises that God will care for our needs. He promises to take care of us all the way through Scripture. You remember that song from many years ago? I remember singing it as a kid. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, my God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. This truth, this fact, as Mal reminds us, remains true. God will always care for us. Will he always end our days as we expect? No. Does an end mean he doesn't care? No. Will he be with us and care for us through every journey towards the end? Yes. God will never leave us or abandon us. And we can put our trust in the treasure of his word rather than the pirate's treasure buried somewhere in the booby-trapped backyard of your life. If you've seen The Goonies, that's what I'm thinking about, all the traps along the way. So Jesus says, don't store up treasure on earth where moths and rust can't keep their promises to repay and give us all that we need. Instead, he says, store up treasure for yourself in heaven, you all know it. Store up treasure for yourself in heaven, where eternal life will maintain this treasure eternally. That's a kind of treasure we want, really, isn't it? That's lasting. So Jesus wants for us, as we think about our garage, all the things that we treasure and the values behind them, why we keep them. He wants for us to think, instead of seeing these things as things that we need to hold and hoard, as things that are a means to an end. That's the shift of eternal treasure. I want to read you a parable Jesus told. This is one, he told a lot of odd parables, but I want to read to you one of his odd parables. I want for you to listen to it and try and hear what he's saying about eternal treasure. Luke 16, Jesus told this story to his disciples. There was a certain rich man who had a manager handling all of his affairs. One day a report came that the manager was wasting the employer's money. So the employer called him in and said, "What is this I hear about you? Get your report in order because you are going to be fired." I'm reading from the NLT if you're wondering why it's so understandable. The manager thought to himself, now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig ditches because I'm an inside guy, and I'm too proud to go out and beg. I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired. So he invited each person who owed money to the employer to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, "How much do you owe him?" The man replied, "I owe 800 gallons of olive oil." I don't know what you would do with 800 gallons of olive oil. But anyway, so the manager told him, "Take the bill, quickly change it to 400 gallons. And how much do you owe the employer?" And he went and asked the next man, "I owe 1,000 bushels of wheat." Here, the manager said, "Take the bill and change it to 800. The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being shrewd. And it's true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than the children of the light, says Jesus. Here is the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. What a curious passage. I'm going to encourage you to read it again for homework during the week and do some reflection. It's a wonderful passage. But I just want to focus on the last sentence. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you into an eternal home. Jesus is implying here that what we do with our treasures on earth can have an eternal impact. That is what he wants us to think shrewdly about the treasure we have and to use it not for something that gives us value now, but for something that produces an eternal value for others. So when we end up on the other side, that we'll be welcomed by people that we have blessed here on earth because they have experienced the work of eternal value through our sharing of treasure. Does that make sense? I feel like I'm saying three or four words too many in that, but I want you to come with me. Jesus implies that earthly use of wealth can make a difference for other people's eternity. And you know, I would find that a little bit questionable. That you would think, well, earthly things is earthly and heavenly things are heavenly. But Jesus said this. And then he rose again. So what he says is true. You know what I'm saying? So let's lean into this idea of eternal treasure. We can make a difference with the things in our garage. If we're going to do that, however, we need to ask the question, what is the best bang? This is the shrewd. What is the best bang for the things I have to make a difference in eternity? How can I best serve the eternal kingdom with the things that God has given me? And of course, one of the things is to recognize, as we said before, our wealth is not an end in itself. Our garage storage is not the end of the race. He and she who have the most toys don't win because in the end, we can't take them with us. So instead, we've got to view them as a means to a different end, an eternal end. How can we see these things as something that can be shared and passed on that will make an eternal difference? Money can, treasure can add meaning to our life, but it adds meaning to our life not when we hoard it and see ourselves as more valuable because of it, or secure because of it, but because it is a means to someone else's life and eternal life. So, here are some things. Plan to give money away on purpose. I mean, if you want to say, yes, I'm going to be a generous person, I like to be generous, I'm very happy being generous, but you don't make a plan, your generosity will be spontaneous at best and infrequent at worst. You have to make a plan if you're going to be generous. You have to decide, this is the amount we're going to give away. This is the thing I'm going to share with others. I thought this morning as I was preparing and in my wardrobe trying to get stuff out, I'm going to go through my wardrobe because someone just this week said, I need some more clothes. Haven't bought any since the kids were born, little kids. And I thought, right, I do not need this treasure. And so I'm going to go through. Plan, make a plan to give away. In church, we encourage people to reflect and to participate in the giving to the mission. As a church, we believe when we give together, we can do more than as individuals. And so you can make a plan to tithe, to give, to donate as part of the missional work. And many of you do. Paul and I made a decision early in our marriage that we would tithe 10%. We can live on 90%. That was what our decision was. And our 90% has grown, let me tell you, over time. You know, our incomes increase over time, but we have committed to giving 10% of our income on purpose to the work of the church. And then we'd like to give a little bit more here and there in other things. But we make a plan to do that because I can tell you, hand on heart, if we didn't make a plan, we would spend the lot. I would anyway. I don't know about Paul. That's the reality. You have to make a decision if you want on purpose to not store up treasure just on earth. So make a decision. What percentage are you going to live on? What percentage are you going to give away or invest into eternal work? Let me remind you, joy is found in giving, not in receiving. So what you will experience as you make this plan is more joy. There comes a blessing when you give to others. Am I right? If you've invested in others, you see the fruit of that work go on, even the eternal fruit. And for me, as I think about, we were just talking this morning about some of the senior leaders of SYG, this great program that runs down at Warragul. And Simon and I and Ruben were talking about the two of the leaders that ran that for the last, the current one and the one before, came through the youth groups in the churches that I've been part of. What a privilege to invest in these young people and to see them investing in a multiplied effect for the kingdom of God. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Turn your stuff into stories. You can have stuff. I can have stuff. I got a lot of stuff and I have a love affair with stuff. But the invitation with our garage is turn your stuff into stories. When you give it away instead of storing it, what story might it produce? I listened to a preacher called Andy Stanley, and actually some of these thoughts are from his thoughts around if your money could talk, what would it say about you? Great sermon if you want to listen to it. But he talks about how he used to put stuff in a box and carry it down the basement, and then 2 years later, sort through the basement, carry it up and take it to the donation store. He said, I start my way down the basement and I think, nah, I'm not even going to take it down there. I'm going to give it away and make a story happen. The greatest stories come not by hoarding stuff and showing it off as kings do, not by hoarding stuff and securing our future like pirates do, but by giving it away for the kingdom of God. Now, does that mean we have nothing at all? Well, for the rich young ruler, it did. But actually, the invitation is to be a good steward, to make a decision around your treasure, to assess it, to ask why you're keeping it. And if Jesus says it's time to release it and to trust the blessing that it's more blessed to give than to receive. I thought the garage was going to be easy on my heart, to be honest. But As I worked my way through it, I found there is work to be done. I hope you found it inspiring. We're going to invite Jesus to keep this work going within us as the week goes on. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, when you came to this earth, you were equal with God, but you did not consider this something to be grasped after. Instead, you humbled yourself and became a human, giving up your glory, laying aside the wealth of heaven. You took on the form of a carpenter, a servant. And when you did that, when you laid aside your rights to the stuff in the garage of heaven and instead gave us the right to become part of heaven, our world was changed forever. We thank you that our value is not found in the things that we own, the prestige that it gives us. Instead, it is found in the fact that you call us your children. You offer us an inheritance of your eternal life. And nothing can alter your love for us. We thank you that our hope is not found in our wealth and security, in the treasures that we bury for a rainy day. Instead, found in the loving care of a Father who watches and walks with us day by day, in the green pastures, still waters, and the valleys and the shadows. We thank you for the hope that is to our soul. We turn afresh to trust you for our value and security. Fill our garages with your love. Whatever needs to go, so that we have room for you, we choose to surrender to you. And we pray that we might be people who don't store up treasure on earth, but instead store up treasure by sowing into your kingdom in a way that others might experience the same love and security we have. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.